Hello there, I'm Chuck Todd. I just stepped off the Meet the Press set. I spoke with House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio, and the former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who have served presidents of both parties. Our broadcast, of course, centered around the continuing crisis around police brutality. And our new NBC News poll released today showed that Americans remain pretty distrustful of a lot of our institutions. So to break all this down, I'm sitting here with Amna Nawaz, the co-anchor for PBS's NewsHour. Amna, good to see you.
Hi, Chuck. Good to be here.
Tackling police reform as a journalist, and as you have to do the same thing, you're trying to frame a conversation. Yeah. We report the news, and then you want to frame a conversation that you hope at least gets folks to understand, okay, what can be done and what can't be done here. Why do you think this has been such a much harder? I mean, guns, we know why it's so hard.
Yeah.
Police reform, in some ways, I understand how it got polarized for a minute there, but this is one that I keep thinking there is a bipartisan solution if people really wanted it.
It got polarized, yes, like a lot. Everything feels polarized these days, sure, right?
It's easy to do if you really want to.
Look, police reform, I think we also need to point out, is grounded in larger social, cultural, structural issues in America, which is to say racism and specifically anti-blackness. We know who is disproportionately impacted when it comes to police brutality in this country, and that is Black Americans. We also know that there's a larger culture in America around policing that doesn't really exist in other Western democracies, right? In terms of not leaning into de-escalation first and the arming and the way in which our police forces are armed. There are larger structural and cultural conversations to have around that. I think the challenge for us as journalists, honestly, is we have to cover each of these incidents, mm-hmm. right? We have to cover them with rigor. We have to cover them with specificity. Every family story is different. The circumstances around each of these high-profile cases is different. But then we also have to be able to put them into the larger context, which is to say, this is a pattern. This is a trend. This continues to be an issue. And where does this one incident fit into that larger context? It's not necessarily just about the city of Memphis. It's not necessarily just about the Scorpion unit or this one police chief or the life and the death of Tyre Nichols. This is about where does this story fit into the larger structural issue? And that's where it takes structural change.
You know, one thing I noticed as a pattern, I almost want to go through the research and show this. I mean, anecdotally, I know this is true, which is it's amazing on how many of these police brutality incidents where we find out that the cop or cops involved had previous issues of sort of abuse of their power in some form or another. I'm trying to find the incident that said, nope, this cop had a stellar record, was a perfect cop, had never had
a
complaint against them.
Right.
It does feel as if that it's never a surprise to the leaders in charge of who ends up committing these incidents.
After the fact.
So it seems clear we need something here of a database.
Look, this is where the accountability and the internal accountability portion is key, right? Whether it's a database, whether it's, again, changing the culture of leadership, changing police culture, whatever that conversation is, this is the time to have it, right? Yeah. Because when you look at those numbers, I mean, we talked about them on the show, right? Yeah. The fact that there were more police killings recorded, and we know it's underreported, more police killings recorded in 2022 than in the 2 years prior. You have to ask yourself, well, what about the accountability? We know the vast majority of officers are not held accountable for those.
Yamiche brought up an observation that I had not seen elsewhere. She said, notice the lack of urgency after they sort of stopped beating them. And where it was just sort of very casual as they waited for first responders, who weren't exactly first responders in this case, to do what they were supposed to do. Doing it late, there's clearly going to be investigation there. But she made an observation. They didn't act as if they hadn't been there before. It's hard to prove that, but it was a disturbing image, and I thought a very fair one for her to put out.
When you watch the video, no one will look at that and feel that is not obscene and outrageous and torturous. And I think to get to the end of it, Yamiche is exactly right, and feel as if they may have been here before, just purely on observation. We don't know the facts of this case, and all of those will be investigated and hopefully come out in a court of law. it goes back to the accountability question, right? Mm-hmm. The fact is, in this case, Tyre Nichols died. He died. He was beaten within an inch of his life and he died. How many people are caught on body cameras undergoing the same kind of brutal treatment and live and don't get to see accountability? And the body camera is never released to the public and there's never a probe. But I also want to point out—
Or there's a police chief that doesn't do what this— I mean, look,
sure.
This, the single biggest difference in this case than any others that we've dealt with so far is the actions of this police chief.
Yes, and what she was allowed to do in the structure on the ground.
Explain that. You made this point here because I'm shocked. I am shocked that she was able to essentially short-circuit the union on this one.
I mean, you know where the sticking point was when the Senate talks around reform.
Qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity. Yeah. These are rules that are written into labor union contracts depending on which city, which county, which municipality you are in. There are a number of, look, for very good reasons, there's a number of rules to protect police officers, right? The vast majority of them are out there doing wonderful work. But those rules also protect the bad actors. Mm-hmm. And what you've come up again time and again in other situations is cases in which the investigators cannot even get a statement necessarily from the officers involved in this kind of incident because of the rules and the laws protecting them.
What was different in this law?
Memphis, my understanding is that they have had changes to those labor union contracts. They were allowed to be able to, A, relieve them of duty within 4 or 5 days.
Astonishing timeline.
Yes.
Here.
20-odd days later, they were arrested and charged.
It took much longer.
The rules on the ground, the infrastructure on the ground, allowed for that to happen.
Yeah. No, it is, and it does feel as if she set a bar for police chiefs.
Right.
And one would hope that that now is, that there's a, that every police chief that doesn't act as swiftly is forced to explain why they're not. You know, and maybe their hands are tied. Good, tell us.
Right.
Tell us your hands are tied.
Right.
Explain it to the public. Don't hide behind it. Explain it. So that was the game changer in this one.
Yes, like. After the fact, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we also need to point out part of the investigation will likely be, how was this unit acting before? She has been police chief overseeing this unit.
She started this unit.
For some time.
By the way,
I think there's legitimate
Scorpion.
Questions.
I mean, this was sort of, it's like, you know, you wonder why there's a trust issue between the communities and police. You call this unit, you brag about it, Scorpion Unit, and it's an acronym for working in sort of high crime areas of the neighborhood. Scorpions aren't something that feels like a peaceful— it's not a peaceful
It's
animal.
Meant to send a message, right? I also think one of the things we're not talking about enough in this case is this. So this happened, the incident happened, the beating happened on January 7th. January 8th, the first official statement we got from police said that he was transferred to the hospital because of shortness of breath. That was the first official statement. And though it changed quickly, and yes, the chief moved quickly, and the facts came out quickly, the video came out relatively quickly, given—
sure.
Related to and compared to other situations, that was the first statement. And we've seen that time and again, when the very first statement that comes out from the institution does not at all reflect the facts on the ground.
Yeah. As a journalist now, if you're in a local community and you see that report, you probably oughtn't take it at face value anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not news that the public is pessimistic about the direction of the country, about where we're headed. Look at this current environment, right? With this feeling of instability and frustration with how this town is run. And I, you know, if this is how we're starting the year off, it's only going to get worse. I mean, whatever you think of Jim Jordan, this is going to be a very partisan exercise.
Yes.
And it's going to be viewed through a partisan lens.
Yes. That's true. But it's also, as you say, it's not a surprise, mm-mm, right? I think anyone who finds themselves on the side of the aisle supporting the actions of this Republican-led House was already there to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're going to see this as investigations they support and things that they want to see their government doing.
Right.
And people who aren't on that side were already opposed to it. I mean, I think it's one of those things we go back to again and again, which is people are where they are. And they haven't really shifted in the last few years.
You know what came through in this poll? And the where I jump on it is the president's approval rating on Ukraine.
Yeah.
Because there's bipartisan consensus that, you know, the only criticism you hear is the criticism I heard from Gates, and even that was mild, which was could have done some things sooner.
Sooner and faster.
Right.
Right.
And everything, but he has done everything with the idea of, I'm not going to go get ahead of NATO.
Right.
So everything has always been NATO along. It is to me, there's no better example of Americans living in their own bubbles than the fact that his approval rating on Ukraine is worse than his overall approval rating. Mm. And either we have a huge distrust on how we do intervene, which I think is legitimate.
There is that.
I think that sits there. But I think it also just tells you how the lack of things that penetrate, I think, people's bubbles.
Yeah. And this is maybe where all of us in our institutions can do a better job of making those lines more concrete for people of this is why it matters. Obviously, people look at gas prices and supply chain issues and they, you know, link those to the war in Ukraine. The resonance of that, the ripple effects of it are so much greater. And it goes back to what President Biden and White House officials will tell you again and again when you talk about the fight for democracy abroad, and you talk about protecting democracies abroad. This is a front line, right?
I mean, but this is the, I mean, think about it. There's not a previous president. You know, we've had all these proxy wars with Russia over almost 100 years now. Not one has ever been this effective.
In terms of wars launched by Russia? Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's one without American troops, and hopefully that continues to stay the case. I mean, as a policy, it's sort of one that appears to be working better than any of this policy's ever worked before.
Yes, but it's also required a different global response at this particular moment in time. I mean, that's another thing. It's we are where we are, right? I mean, President Biden recognized this couldn't go unresponded to. To his credit, he has kept that NATO alliance together in their response. I mean, that is a point of real credit for this president.
Now, to sort of answer my own question as to why he's not getting as much credit, it was fascinating to see the issue of Ukraine through the lens of generations.
Yeah.
We like to look at it through, oh, look, House Republicans are growing. When you actually looked in ours, it really was. If you knew life when there was a Berlin Wall, if you remember the Berlin Wall, you're more likely to support this intervention. If you have no memory of the Berlin Wall, you know, basically you're under the age of 40, then you're not. And that tells you, I think, to me, that's the reminder of, Iraq and Afghanistan are deemed failures. And so the assumption is that this may not work either.
The younger generation grew up and only knew a life in which America was at war abroad.
And not winning.
And not winning, yes.
Whatever winning meant,
exactly.
Right?
Like, however that went. It wasn't going well, ever. And if you only ever know your nation at war, there's obviously a fatigue there about intervention abroad. I think that is absolutely natural. I remember talking to folks on the 9/11 anniversary, like younger Americans, and to hear them say, I've only ever known my country. That's a really powerful piece of information that's central to your life as an American, right?
It is.
The further away we get from history, the further away we get from the Berlin Wall, the further away we get from the Holocaust, by the way, the new studies that have come out, we are forgetting as a nation what it felt like, what it meant. And that's a real problem.
All right. I'm going to try to do a twist here in a much, much, much lighter moment. Of the Oscar nominees, what movies had you seen?
This is sad insight into my
Any
life.
Any of them. I know. Don't worry.
You mean in the Best Picture nominees?
Yeah.
Who are they even? Can you
list
them?
Well, let's see here. We got
Is Everything Everywhere All at Once? Yes.
Okay.
So I love that. And
all right.
I bow down at the altar of Michelle Yeoh.
Okay. Then we're going to pause there because I watched that on Friday.
What do you think?
And it was better than I thought it would be. Because
better than I thought.
I will tell you this. My little touchstones on movie reviewers are all older. And it is pretty. And so I now realize that if you're an older viewer, it was too much.
It was too. Oh,
okay?
Really? That's interesting.
It was the sensory overload. Mm. And so I understood where there was. My only beef was I thought it was about 15 minutes too long.
Okay.
You know, I think I could have used an editor here or there.
Okay.
I appreciated the different themes that came out of there.
Yeah.
There's like mother-daughter stuff.
Yes.
There's father-daughter stuff.
Yes.
There's generational
stuff. There's husband-wife stuff.
There's chaos in of our life and how there's, you know.
Yes.
It touched a lot of interesting cultural debates that we're having.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that a lot. I thought they did it.
Seen some of the others?
Big complaint I heard was, oh, there's no plot. No, there's a plot, but you have to buy into the multiverse.
Yes.
Which is very difficult for older folks. I do think when you have to explain them, oh, no, there's, you're like, this is why I think older reviewers have not liked
it. First of all, if you could get your head around Star Wars, I don't know how many years ago, you can get your head around this.
Okay. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
But she's going to win the Oscar, isn't she?
God, I hope so.
You do?
I mean, well,
poor
Can
Kate
I lose all journalistic credibility? Oh, yeah, no, yes, I think
are you a voter?
Amazing.
No, it doesn't matter.
She's amazing. You're
not a voter, so don't worry
the
about
movie
it.
Was amazing. Michelle Yeoh was amazing. Like, yeah, her hitting this point at this point in her career is amazing. I for one, would love to see it.
All right. My only other warning to folks is the first 5 minutes, you're going to think it's very subtitle heavy, but I promise you, the subtitles start to go away after the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and even if they didn't, you can still find a reason to care.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So any of the Banshees, have you done that one? I haven't yet, and I want
to. No, I need to see that.
Yeah, I need to do that one.
Yeah, I need to see that one. Now, and
believe it or not, Top Gun got nominated.
Not for best picture?
I know.
Stop it.
Well, because they want Tom Cruise to show up to show up.
So I mean, here's what I will say about that. And this
I enjoyed it, but I didn't
unpopular.
Think it. It's not what I thought was best picture.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Cruise.
It's fun.
Knows how to make a good movie.
He does.
That's it.
That was fun. Now, he plays the same guy in every movie.
It was everything I needed it to be at the moment I watched it.
100%.
So thank you for that.
I haven't seen Avatar, have you?
I have not, no.
Yeah, I didn't love the first one. You know, the blue. And I like me a good science fiction Star Wars, but, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't, like, totally buy it.
See, you can get your head around blue people.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was okay.
But everything everywhere all at once.
No, I like I said, I liked it better than I thought I would. But I understand why some of my older friends...
This is officially a Michelle Yeoh fan account now.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, Michelle Yeoh, if you win, Amna and I want some credit.
There you go.
Enjoy your Sunday.